Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. The big news of the night, Daphne Schippers wins the 200 metres women's gold at the World Championships. ABW Radio will be setting up a therapy session for all Arsenal fans. It's the start of the season and it's 3 points. And tonight, well, I'm going to be a host on ABW Radio. I don't know what the hell is going on. I'm an emotional wreck. Ellis Mel. Ellis, say hello.
Hello.
How are
you,
pal?
That was a bit Jason-esque, that was, wasn't it?
I like that. Quite enjoyed that.
I've just seen old Thunder in the chat box. I said, make sure you stick up against or stand up against Davey. So I'll do it for you, Thunder. I'll do it for you. I won't let him bully me. I'll try not to anyway.
Good man, good man. Glad you're on board. How's your nerves?
Yeah, all right now. But yeah, that was a bit of the old stressful for the ticker, wasn't it? Like, bloody hell. Yeah.
We'll talk
about it, I'm sure. But there were periods in that game where I thought, oh, fucking hell, here we go. But it all turned out right in the end. That's the main point. That's what we've got to focus on tonight, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the only look at it. And again, we're joined by Josh. Josh, how are you, pal?
I'm good, thanks. I hope you don't feel like you're babysitting the two babies of the pod. But it's great to be back for a new season.
It is, isn't it? It's nice. I had the pleasure of Ellis's company last week. And now I've got the pleasure of your company. It's I'm probably old enough to be a dad, so yeah, I am babysitting.
Oh, there's a thought for me.
Say hello to your mum for me.
I know.
Oh, let's not go down that road. Let's not go down that road. Right, lads. Wow. I'm still gobsmacked. What a roller coaster of a game. As I said before, we won't talk about the lineups too much because we had what we had due to injury, suspension, etc., and the transfer window not being closed. Josh, I'll come to you first. What an opening to the game.
I know, it was absolutely mad. Like, we knew Lacazette could, you know, get goals, but did anyone expect him to get one after 1 minute and 50 seconds? I know I didn't. And what a ball from, I think, Xhaka for the crossfield ball to Bellerin to then play it across to Elneny. And that chip and the run from Welbeck that just takes the defender away and Lacazette to put it in, you're thinking, right, this is the way that Arsenal are going to go about this season. Wenger ball is back and this is going to be great. Little did we know that perhaps the Wenger ball defending might also creep back in, but it was a great way to start the season and to get Lacazette to get that hoodoo off his back, because we know what the rhetoric would be if he hadn't scored today. If he hadn't scored in his next game, then everybody would be on his back. And I think he just needed to get that off his, you know, get that done, silence any critics that may be existing and get on with his game. And great, because ultimately it got us the 3 points.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the bottom line is the build-up play for the goal is superb. He's come in the big price tag. On the commentary, I think it's Carragher, I don't know who, mentioned that Welbeck's movement made the room for Lacazette, ignoring all his movement before Wes Morgan was taken out. You know, there was good movement on behalf of Welbeck and Lacazette. He'd been really busy before that, and just great finish, exactly what you need from a striker. The build-up play, Ellis, as Josh alluded to, it was really tidy with a fantastic ball in from Elneny. What did you make of it all? How did you see it unfolding?
Well, like the first thing I said, I sat there watching it with my my dad on the TV, and I said to him, I really hope like Lacazette opens up his account today and we don't like start to get on his back too much. Just hope he can get a goal. And literally, like Josh said, a minute and a half or 40 seconds later, he'd popped it in. I was like, oh, bloody hell. And I was like sort of enjoying that, but I didn't get much time to enjoy it before, obviously, our defending appeared. But yeah, I thought the movement for the goal was brilliant. I think we've done that a lot throughout the game, not just in the first half, but in the second half. It obviously helped in the second half when we had more strikers on the pitch than centre-backs, but hey-ho. But yeah, it was...
To be honest, Ellis, I think it's better that we have more strikers on the pitch than centre-backs. They defend better.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I was really pleased with sort of the way the ball came in and Lacazette is, he is, that's something that we have been missing. I know you could probably say that Giroud would probably take that goal quite well if he was in that position, but we do miss that sort of fox in the box strike that we haven't had for many years. I can't remember a player I thought was really good at finishing a set from Eduardo before he got his leg snapped, but for the, since then we've only sort of had the odd good player that are good goal scorers, but sometimes can their finishing can be a bit hit and miss. Even with Giroud, we know he can pop up and score goals like he did today, but that he can go like 8 games in a row without scoring a goal. Like, so it's good to have someone on board like Lacazette, and I think he will. I don't think he's quite in his stride yet anyway. I think he's still trying to learn. You could see it in parts of the game today, how we play, like getting to know his teammates, and Arsenal, the Arsenal players are still trying to get to know him. You can still see that. So to get your first goal within like under 2 minutes, considering you only had what, 4 or 5 games pre-season, and you're playing, like, the team's changed quite a lot throughout those pre-season's games. So yeah, I was just pleased to get off to a good start, but like I said, that didn't last very long, and we'll go on that more in a bit, I suppose.
Well, no, let's go straight to it. There's a lot of people in the chat box bigging up Kolasinac. Let's go straight to the best equaliser, because he went walkabout. He had a case of the Koscielnys. You know, it's his job to mark the back post, and whereas he's just walking through the box. For me, the whole defence is a shambles. I feel a bit for Monreal. He's not normally a captain within the team, but there was no leadership at that set piece whatsoever. Josh, you talk to me about it. Tell me what you think about it.
So I think in general, that's a back three that we won't really see again this season, or at least I hope not after today's performance. But just generally from personnel-wise and how it was shaping up, I don't think we're going to see that unless we have some kind of horrific injury crisis.
Do you remember the cup final?
Yeah, it's true, but at least we had two centre-backs starting. This was two left backs and Holding. Holding obviously having a fantastic cup final. Are we referring to the Community Shield?
No, the cup final. You had Saka first game of the season.
Yeah.
We had suspensions, injuries, etc., etc. It always happens to us.
Absolutely. I'm thinking
we have to be stacked in that position.
I'm thinking just first game of the season, they haven't really trained with it, especially drilled with that group. And initially, when you look at it, yeah, we found out what Kolasinac's weak points are. And that is, if there's a guy behind him, he's basically not going to see him. We're going to need more communication across our back line. I think that was a problem we had last season. I think Cech again is slightly culpable from that. I don't want to bring him in and use him as a scapegoat, but you know, the communication should start from the back to the front and from the front to the back. And that's, I think, where the problem is, because Okazaki just gets so much space at the back post, and you're just looking at it and going, well, what's changed this season? I know we've got a lot of people out, and that's an excuse that will be used, but the players took to the field. They had to perform. And I think that's an issue we found in this game, is that little bit of rustiness as well.
Right, Josh, I'll take you back to first game last season against Liverpool, Holding and Chambers starting a centre-half. Same old story.
Yeah, absolutely. That was Koscielny out because he was being successful for international. Same problem this season. We got Koscielny out and Mustafi was at the Confederations Cup. So we're being a little bit hamstrung by the fact that our players are so successful at international level.
I'm just cutting you here. Ahmed Deguna comes in. First goal is almost entirely Czech. No, Kolasinac is marking the back post. He's gone walkabout.
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody should be pulling him up on that. He walks past a couple of our players that can see Kolasinac's shirt coming towards him and go, mate, I shouldn't be able to see you. You're marking the back post. Get back in your position. Like, Xhaka should be doing that. I think he walks past Monreal as well. There's players in there that should be doing that. Any defender that's worth his salt should be saying to another defender, go back there.
Yeah.
In his sort of like Kolasinac defence, he's a left wing back or a left back. Like, he shouldn't really be playing there anyway. It's just sort of like, other than yesterday's first Sunday, other than this sort of that, it's his first proper competitive start, isn't it?
No, he's played the four, pardon me.
Also,
a second, if he's a left wing back, why isn't he on the left hand side of the post? Why is he going across the right hand side of the pitch?
He's playing with Nacho Monreal, another left back. He's playing with Rob Holding, inexperienced. Like, I feel for all three of them. I'm not. They shouldn't really be in that position in the first place to be all playing at centre back. Like, that's all I want to say. Like, he is at fault for the goal. I'm not saying he's not, but I do feel for the guy, because I don't think he should really be playing that position anyway. And you could see that. And I mentioned it in our WhatsApp chat, saying he is so far forward for our centre back. He shouldn't be that far forward. But at the end of the day, he was involved with that goal, and his positives and the way he works the player is quite good going forward. So you want him on that left wing back role, because he's quite influential. He's influential in the last game we played in the Community Shield. He's influential in this game as well. Also at both ends of the pitch, not just in favour of us, but in favour of Leicester, but still.
He's a really influential player, and I really like him, but there was a lack of discipline at set piece throughout the game with us, okay? And you can't just... This guy is not some kid who's come in. You know, you look at Holding. Holding had a torrid time this game. We can't slate him. He's a youngster, okay? You know, let's not... Like I said to you last week, you know, let's not overinflate him. Let's not hammer him down. He's had a terrible game. But the whole defence, I mean, I thought... You know, including wing backs, only Ox came out of it with real credit. He was solid all game. Kolasinac was defensively not great. Fantastic going forward. But again, we were all at sea. No leadership at all at the back. And the midfield didn't help at all in defensive situations. Josh, you know, we're looking at a position now where, again, we start a new season, and defensively we are really, really fragile. And I take on Ellis's points. I think he's made some good points there. But what do you put it down to?
I'm not really sure, because you're looking at that left centre-back position, and you're thinking first choice for that for this season, if we're going to go through at the back, is Nacho Monreal. And he's not playing there. You've got Kolasinac in place. I was saying at half time, and it sounds crazy, but at least he played there three times in pre-season, is we should have put Elneny there just to bring some kind of stability around it. At least get them familiar with those positions, move Ox into infield, move Kolasinac onto the left wing back, because we were just struggling all over the place. Holding was getting absolutely destroyed because Bellerin was too far forward. I think overall the balance of the team just on paper looked like it could cope with the counter-attack of Leicester, but in reality just really couldn't. And I could only think that Mustafi is the only available centre-back that could have helped that issue. You play Per there, he's getting ruined. It doesn't matter why Per's out, because he's got a cut above his eye, maybe he's got a concussion, maybe he's got a fracture. It doesn't matter. The guy's going to get destroyed in that game. There's so much pace in that front line, and Okazaki and Vardy between them were just pulling him all over the place. So I think overall, you've got to go, okay, should we have dipped into the transfer market? I think we did say at the end of the season we needed someone to come in to...
We got Chambers on the bench.
Yeah, Chambers, is he there just ready to get sold? I think he is. He did play right centre-back for Middlesbrough when they played three at the back, and I thought he'd be perfect to come in, but obviously managers made a decision. He's there. I thought in the transfer window we should bring in someone to not cover for Koscielny, but for someone for Koscielny to cover, because his Achilles is... got that tendonitis, long-standing issue. We're going to end up with another Santi Cazorla, where we've got a decent position within our spine that is taken up primarily by a player who is incredibly injury prone, and we can't have that. We need to stop it before it occurs, and I think that's why we need to get a first choice centre back in to replace Koscielny, because there's no way across a season that is going to probably amount to 70 games, are we going to be able to rotate the defence? And
It does seem strange. And we've sold Wodg. I just don't understand it. We've got Chambers, who's, you know, who gets into the under 21s ahead of Holding. Comes off the back of a great loan season where he's developed as a player, and now we're going to sell him. It all seems a bit daft. Okay, back to the game, Ellis. From losing, conceding the equaliser, we moved on. We controlled the game. We really sort of dictated the pace. We created plenty of chances, but we didn't finish. Give me your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I thought like throughout this game, and you can see it by the scoreline. Attacking wise, we were quite good. We created chances. There was a lot of this sort of, like Josh said, Wenger ball. Lots of tight passing high up the pitch in areas and creating chances. But like you said, we couldn't score. Kasper Schmeichel come up with quite a good few, couple of saves. A couple of players probably should have done a bit better than they should have, but they didn't. But I suppose the good point is that we are creating those chances. And I think another day, another game, when we've got our sort of first choice centre-backs out there, like the likes of Mustafi and Koscielny, both not there. When they're in that team, we might look a bit more solid at the back, and you're sort of laughing if you can keep creating chances and you're more sure at the back. But yeah, it was frustrating, and I felt Leicester's game plan worked to the advantage for a majority of that game. When they won the league, they played the sort of 4-4-2 and they got loads of bodies back and they countered really well. And they sort of tried to do that against us today, and they put a lot of bodies back and they frustrated us, and they just sort of waited to put pressure at the right times on our back three. And lo and behold, they did make the odd couple of poor passes that led to then us conceding a goal, or they didn't quite track back. And then they just quite solidly defended, but at times I think Arsenal were unplayable in the attack with the combination plays they were making. Welbeck does make me laugh. He reminds me of like a small sort of baby giraffe or antelope that doesn't quite know his own balance, but he's still sort of there, and he's just sort of adding these poor touches every now and again, but they're still creating problems for the team just because of his physicality and his pace. He will always cause problems, but his finishing, his touch can be a bit lackluster at times. But he played quite well, especially leading up to some of the goals. I thought he was all right, and I think he played well. And yeah, we look good going forward. And like I said before, when Lacazette, we've got a different type of forward, and we've got a plan A and a plan B of both them and Drew, which is good. It's just, we really do need to shore up the defence, and I think we've got a good team here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, considering that was such a roller coaster of an emotional game tonight, I was on tenterhooks. We did control the majority of the game. We did control it. We just didn't finish our chances, which was really, really frustrating. Josh, I'll come for you for the Leicester goal to go ahead. Just sloppy.
Yeah, definitely. We could probably copy and paste bits from previous podcasts where we can see goals direct from a corner. We've seen it so often. I think even in commentary, Jamie Carragher found an old script on the floor that said Steve Bould will have a lot to do in the morning when it comes to training. We've seen this so often. If I remember rightly, again, it's our man Kolasinac that loses his man. I don't know what you can do about it. To be fair, the ball that goes in is great. It's a well-played ball, but no one goes for him. The way that referees have not given penalties for shoulder barges in the box, you could wipe Vardy out and probably not get a penalty against you. So I think, yeah, you just want to see some form of commitment from our defence in that lineup. But I think that's the worst thing about it. The fact that nobody tracks the run, and nobody's not even doing a Flamini and pointing at another centre-back to say, look at him. He's in so much space. He's probably going to head it. I think Cech is slightly culpable, because even when I see the ball coming in, I know where Vardy's going to put it. He's going to put it to the back post. And I would think a goalkeeper that's won the Champions League might have slightly more of a idea and experience and judgment to know where the ball's going to go and not flap at his front post. But again, the header should never come in. Doesn't matter about Cech. It's a comedy of errors. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I think it starts as well. The midfield doesn't really... The midfield of Elneny and Xhaka was hot and cold tonight, my God. He was some great balls and some truly terrible passages of play. But there was no solidity in front. There was no, they looked so decent last week in the Community Shield final, and then to go to this, it was confusing more than anything.
Yeah, when the ball goes forward and goes through Elneny and Xhaka, they look incredible. But if the ball starts coming the other way, they suddenly look like they don't exist. The amount of play that was just when we would cut open that Leicester midfield, it was incredible. But they do exactly the same thing to us. And you're thinking, you know, we've paid a lot more money for these guys.
Yeah,
they should be better. They are better players. Okay, one of them's got more league titles than us. But, in recent years anyway, based on squad, we should be winning this midfield battle. It's 2-on-2. You look at it, it's Ndidi and Matty James, who hasn't played in the Premier League for over 2 seasons and was at Barnsley last year, against Elneny, who has played Champions League football for Basel, has played Champions League football for Arsenal, has scored against Barcelona. And you've got Xhaka, captain of Borussia Mönchengladbach 2 seasons ago, and coming into Arsenal, has been an absolute baller through pre-season, has had a great end of the season as well last year. And they're getting overrun in midfield. And you're thinking, what's going on here? They should have the advantage.
Yeah, I'm going to come to Ellis now. Ellis, the chat box is schizophrenic, to put it mildly. I've never seen so many differing opinions. It's quite fantastic. Please keep it nice in there, guys. We're not other places which, you know, encourage sort of abusing each other. And before I come to Ellis, actually, yeah, the pirate's not here. He's trying to press gang Lamar and Seri on the Mediterranean. He's, you know, the one thing I would say, whether you like or if you could give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you think that, Chris loves a thumb up. So go nuts if you could, please. Let's go back in the chat box. And a couple of people have mentioned Ozil in the chat box. Throughout the first half, he struggled. He really, really struggled. I'm not sure what's what there, but you know, what was your take on it? Because it did seem as though, you know, there was no pressure. You know, we weren't defending from the top well, and he had very little impact in the first half.
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to agree with you there, to be honest. He's fitness-wise, he looks all right. Like, he was running a lot for the ball. He's closing down. He probably covered quite a lot of meters in that game, but his touch wasn't quite there. His passing, which is something you just assume Mesut Ozil is going to be really good at. You just expect him to make like so many passes, and a couple of them were just a bit too long. He seemed to diver on the ball a bit too much, and then the pass he'd choose, it wasn't a sort of pass I'd particularly think he'd go for. Then there was a chance when he tried to, was it a volley or it came across him and he tried to smash it across goal and put it wide. He had that chance right on in the end of the half when Schmeichel was way off his line, and I don't know if that was a scuffed shot or a pass to Lacazette, whatever it was. It didn't look very nice, but yeah, I just don't think he was really at it today. I think for me, Ozil is a luxury player. When he's on top of the ball, he can really, on top of it, he can completely run the game. He can pass everywhere. He can set players up. And I think this season, with a striker like Lacazette, you'll see a lot more coming from Ozil, because he's got that sort of fast, pacey striker who can run in behind, who's a good finisher, whereas Giroud doesn't quite have that sort of movement that Lacazette does, or the finishing, really. None of the forwards except from Lacazette have that sort of finishing ability. So that, I think that'll help a lot with Ozil. But today he just struck me as someone who wasn't quite just there. Well, not fitness-wise, but just wasn't quite sharp enough. And there was sort of rumours that he wasn't going to start. Him and Ramsey were both sort of iffy, but eventually featured, and obviously Ozil started. But yeah, he just didn't seem quite the races today. But he gets a lot of stick in the English media, and sometimes rightly so. Sometimes I think it's a bit over the top just because he's not a typical English player that runs around a lot or puts himself in there. He's not that type of player. He is someone who will slow the game down. He'll try and pick the pass, who's not going to sprint past players or smash a shot in from ages away. It's just not him. And I think the sooner you realise what Mesut Ozil is and stop trying to compare him to other players, then you won't really get as frustrated with him. But he can be. He's not like him and Alexis Sanchez on the pitch, sort of polar opposites. Sanchez is someone who will grab the game by a scruff of the neck, take shots, be greedy, not pass it. And then you've got Ozil, who isn't going to grab the game by a scruff of the neck, isn't going to take a shot from outside the box, is going to try and pass it. And I think they work well together. But yeah, he didn't have the greatest of games, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself because it is the first game of the season and he's a player that wasn't, might not played. So you just got to give him a slight break there, I guess.
I think I'm. Who was it? Sorry. By the way, Kelly Maher, get back to work. Everybody in the box. It's great to see the same old people and some newbies as well. Love it. 73295. Ozil needs another break. Perhaps January. He might be in the mood. Do you know what? I know what people say. Okay. That okay. He's not that type of player. But you are playing in the Premier League. And the bottom line is you have to adapt. Okay? And Ozil's performance was poor today. He did take a shot outside the box. He's got a case of the Santi Cazorlas in front of goal. You know, he doesn't threaten the goal at all at the moment, which is really sad to see because he came off a decent scoring season last year. But again, it's the same old story. He goes missing at times, which is a shame. Is Leicester closed the lines? You know, he didn't have a lot of space to play within. He had to drop deep all the time. It was frustrating. I'm going to come back to you, Ellis, for this one. Towards the end of the right at the death of the first half, we come back and equalise. I genuinely thought Welbeck was going to stuff it up. he got stuck under his feet a little bit. Talk me through that, then go straight to Josh and I'll be back in a second.
Okay, yeah. It's like I said earlier, Welbeck reminds a bit like of Bambi on ice. He's quite clumsy, but he has got the physical ability to run around. He's got pace, he's got strength. He is quite there and he's always going to be a menace to the defenders. But yeah, I thought once Kostelnik, I can't even say his name, I'm doing a Danny. Once he put the ball to Welbeck and he took that extra tackle, I thought, bloody hell, just put it away. And I thought he'd really messed it up. But he did put it away and we go 2-2 into the break, which is good, really. But yeah, it was. I did worry, but we got the goal, so that counts. Josh.
I forgot what you said. Are we going into the next goal or just continuing?
Just for sure. Thoughts on Welbeck.
I was reading a great article that I saw on Twitter. I think it was from Seb Blaffett-Moore off the top of my head, just regarding Welbeck and how he is one of the most frustrating, beautiful players to watch because he's got everything that you'd want from a striker apart from he can't score many goals. The fact that he is now 27, he's in a bit of a... He should be in his prime. So... what are we looking for from a player that it's going to be, you know, in his prime? He's 27 years old. What's his best position? Where does he fit in? He's not really... Is he a central striker for us? Is he a third-choice striker? Maybe. And then on the left wing, he's certainly not first-choice once Alexis is back. So that probably takes him to fourth-choice striker as well with Alexis back. So... I'm not sure how I feel about Danny Welbeck. I like him. He did that goal against Man United, but is that enough to have an Arsenal career on the fact that you scored a goal once against Man United in the cup? I don't know.
I think as a manager, Danny Welbeck is someone that you'll love because he's a great utility player. He's not exactly, like you say, he's probably third, second, fourth choice striker or whatever, but... he is a menace. He runs around. He gets stuck involved. He works really hard for the team. And I think that's what people remember Welbeck for, not being this great goal scorer. He's just someone that you know is going to put in the effort and be there. And I think that's why he played so well. When he was at United, he played a lot on the left, didn't he? And with us, he's played sort of all over the place because he's so versatile and you know he'll put a shift in. So as a manager, you like players like that, but you also need a bit more from a striker if he's going to be your first choice. But I don't think he is. Like, for me, Lacazette and Welbeck are miles ahead of him in terms of their end product.
Yeah, to be fair.
Let's be straight, boys, okay? Sorry, but you're looking at Danny Welbeck. Every big game in Europe, Ferg used to pick Danny Welbeck up on the left. Every big game. Because he doesn't... Okay, he's not greatest in front of goal. That is an issue, okay? He needs to improve his goal scoring. But his link-up play, his skill level is excellent. His work rate is beyond belief. So some of his play today was truly superb. You know, unfortunately, in front of the goal, he gets the yips now and again. He equalised, you know. It was Kolasinac who gave him the pass. Great tenacity from Lacazette. And we go in a 2-2. How did you feel at that point, Josh?
I was relieved, to be honest. The game was going a mile a minute and was getting away from us, to be honest. I think if we went in 2-1, then you could just see that, at least, especially in the stands, because I know at home I wasn't really up for, you know, dealing with that second half. You knew what was coming. You're like, okay, Leicester are going to come out strong again. Didn't really see us turning it around. So it does fit with that, you know, old adage, you know, any time is a good time to score a goal, but just before half time is the perfect time.
I just jumped you there. Shreya Palmer, hello, how are you? Take care, goodbye, you're a moron. Yes, you're banned. Ta-da, cheerio, adios. I would swear at you, but you're not worth my effort.
He needs to be more specific as well. We're not all morons. It's just at least 66% of us that are on right now.
Hi.
Crack on.
Right. Yeah. So I don't. Yeah, it's the best time to score a goal just before half time. It changes the team talk, changes the mood in the stadium as well. I think if we go in on first game of the season into half time and you're paying £8 for a pint or whatever it is now in the Emirates, and you're having to deal with the fact you're going in losing to Leicester. I just don't think everyone's up behind the squad when we come back in. And we've seen that. We saw it last season that when the support and the fan base aren't behind the team suffer more. I think just seeing that come in, the goal going in, doesn't matter how you score goals. As you say, it looked like Welbeck tried to put it in off his arse in the end. He's just got his feet caught underneath himself. But it went in, we got the goal, and it just got the team up and pumped for the second half. And we saw that when they came back out, that we were just going straight through the team. We were going straight through Leicester. We were doing well, and then we were just caught by a stupid mistake in the 56th minute with the Vardy goal.
Wow. Yeah, let's be honest, we came out and we needed to keep it calm and we needed to build the game. And again, we just lose a sloppy goal, Ellis. Because at that point, I was nearly in tears.
Yeah, it's frustrating because it's like I said about Leicester, their game plan is to sort of play that back four and have two banks of four in front of their goalkeeper and sort of counter-attack and get a goal. And we just sort of when we scored the first goal, I was like, yes, here we go. They've got to come at us. And they scored another, for fuck's sake. And then they scored again. Then we equalised. And sort of going into half time, you're sort of sat there thinking, but it could be worse. We can just count that as a write-off. Just pretend it's 0-0 and just try and get a goal and win it. And it just didn't work. We were pressured from the front, from the back for their front three. And it just saw two. And we just sort of went to pieces. And I thought, poor old Rob Holding, he had a bit of a torrid time down there. And both him and Bellerin on that right-hand side were sort of turning over the ball a bit. And we just offered them a chance. And when the ball come in for Vardy, you can tell that the back three aren't used to playing with each other or perhaps aren't used to those positions because they just didn't pick up Vardy. And you can say what you like about Vardy. He is a bit of a knob, but he's a good finisher. And you can't leave him free in the box because those sort of balls come in and just bread and butter for him. He'll put them away all day long. So you need to make sure you're tracking his run. And they just didn't. And there's not really much more to say about it. It's a poor mistake. It's poor marking. it's something that we say sort of every year, again, year on, year out. But
yeah, but again, okay, you know, we weren't defending from the top at all during the game. You know, our press was intermittent and poor. Bellerin defensively was atrocious today. He's decent going forward. I'd like to see him use his pace more. But defensively, he was a non-entity. Xhaka and Elneny lost the plot defensively, even though they did control the majority of the game going forward. And holding, as we've said, you know, the whole back three had a torrid time. You know, I mean, I've already said it. The only one that comes out with any credit was decent today, I thought. You know, consistently was the Ox. He'd come back. Okay, he may get beaten, but he was in the right positions on not his favourite side. And it's a recurring theme with us where this consistently happens. You know, it takes us too long to bed down as a team and to solidify. Josh, at that point, the stadium just... It's kind of died. How did you feel at that point when we went 3-2 down?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the atmosphere was very similar in my living room. It was a bit like, well, what's happening here? You know, it's don't want to say typical Arsenal because I'm trying to hope we're moving beyond that in this season. That was my hope, that we're going beyond typical Arsenal and going back to the 1-0 to the Arsenal. You know, try and get something back to resemble a team that can defend. But overall, yeah, changes were needed, which we did see in the end. I wasn't sure about Elneny coming off. Obviously, Rambo coming on. Jace, I can't say otherwise because you're just going to shoot me down if I say that Rambo shouldn't come on because you love him.
I'm not being funny. I think the proof's in the pudding, boys.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely. In hindsight, when you can see what happens in a few minutes later, then yeah, of course, Rambo coming on is a great change. But I think Elneny was having a good game. I didn't necessarily see it, but then I'm not paid £10 million a year to sit in the dugout of Arsenal Football Club. Holding did need to come off. I thought Bellerin perhaps should have been the man to come off because I thought he was having a pretty poor game. But the formation that came out of it was just crazy. I thought we were back in pre-season where we've got the likes of Reece Nelson playing and it was right wing back for a time where we went back to 4-3-3 and we've got Ox at right back, Monreal and Kolasinac in the middle and Bellerin at left back. And to be honest, that is this kind of formation that you just hope for goals. And with Ozil looking absolutely beat after about 70 minutes, I wasn't really sure where we're going to get anything because when your most creative player is struggling to move around the field, then it's not necessarily a good recipe for getting goals.
No, I, as well as that, Ellis, we seem to be taking a lot of pot shots. Okay, some, you know, tested the keeper, but we seem to be panicking up until the substitutions. You know, you had Ozil taking shots from distance, you had Ox, you had Xhaka, and we were working space kind of well. We just weren't getting the runners in the right positions at the time, and we weren't clinical enough. So, I mean, you know, is that a sign of panic within the team? Do you think that, you know, if you look through the team, that you know, a couple of new starters in Kolasinac and Lacazette, you've got a youngster in Holding, you've got Elneny who's not a regular. So did that unbalance us and make us a little more rash than we should have been?
I think it was more frustration than anything from some of the players. I think, like I said, you've got a lot of men back for Leicester. And we know Xhaka's got a bit of a shot on him. He had a good chance in the Community Shield, which Courtois saved. Previously last season against Hull and Nottingham, he had some good shots from far out that went in. And that's something that he does have in his locker. But it did, like you say, it got a bit silly at times, just taking pot shots when there wasn't really much on. But I think it was just born out of frustration. When you've got so many men in front of you and you just keep passing around and around and around, you just can't penetrate, then eventually someone's going to try and take it upon themselves to have a crack. And you never know, because you could just hit a defender and it, or your own player, and it pings off in a different direction.
These are from 40 yards, 30, 40 yards out with men in the way. This is my point.
Yeah, but then
they weren't clear shooting opportunities a lot of the time.
No, but like I said, born out of frustration, you're not really thinking clearly when you're getting frustrated and you're sat there and you keep passing it around and you need a goal. And yeah, I agree with you. They're too far out and the percentage of them going in than closer is obviously a lot lower. But I just think it's a born out of frustration. And in the end, they didn't really hurt us too much. Like, we'd be a lot more frustrated with it if Xhaka had taken that while Elneny was pushed up the pitch and then they run down and Vardy scored from a counter attack. We'd be pissed off completely and justifiably so, but luckily that didn't really happen.
Ellis, do you think, because it was mostly Ox that was taking those shots at that time, assuming or thinking he was Roberto Carlos reborn, he took at least three or four in a succession. Do you think that's just frustration for the fact that he was put back to right back?
Yes and no. Like, he said it so many times that he wants to play centre mid, and a lot of people rightly so say, fuck it, you're playing for Arsenal, you'll play where you're told to play, just get on with it, and if you want to go and play centre mid somewhere else, then by all means go. And yeah, I think you're probably right in saying that he's playing in a position that he probably doesn't want to play in, but he's played pretty fucking well at right wing back. Sometimes at left wing back he can leave a bit to desire with his left foot, but today I thought he played quite well there. And like Jason said, out of the sort of wing backs, he was the better of the two other than Bellerin didn't really play great, and when he went onto that right side he looked very dangerous, and he's got the ability to run past players and get into good positions, but he does still have that sort of moment where, yeah, I've beaten three players down the outside, but then I'll play a poor pass and they're on the counter and I'm up near the corner flag. Like, he does have that in his ability, but I do agree. I think it is frustration, or probably trying to say, look at me, look, I can play centre mid if he scores a worldie from really far out, but who knows?
I'll just address Danny Cook in the chat box. We're not talking about not taking shots. We're talking about picking a moment.
Should we shoot more?
Yeah, usual, you know. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't at times, aren't you? You know, it's about being smart. I think we should take long shots. We need to draw out the defence. You know, we need to keep defences thinking. Good movement, taking good opportunities. That's the way you create good chances. But the bottom line is we were rash in too many times. We rushed it. We were sloppy. And none of those shots scored, or most of them didn't hit the target. So the proof's in the pudding. Okay, then the substitutions come. And we've been kind of been screaming out for it. And we rejigged the team. And it changed the game. All of a sudden, we're on the front foot. Look, to all those who said that, oh, I think we should sell Ramsey and I think we should sell Giroud, that's not working out well for you, is it? An immediate impact, Ellis. Just what do you think happened? Well, how did you see a change in the game?
Well, like, I'm sure you agree because you love him, but Aaron Ramsey is a big game player. We've seen it in two FA Cup finals. He will come up and pop up in the box and get those chances. And with him coming on the pitch, he had an awesome chance and he got a bit slightly fouled in there. It's hard to really see from a referee's point of view, but there was a lot of contact in there. And he goes down and everyone's probably thinking, for fuck's sake, he's just come on and he's possibly got injured. But luckily shook it off and he was there to put the goal away when we needed to him. He is, I can't speak more highly of him. If he was fit all the time, he'd be up there. He had that sort of purple patch season where everyone loved him and he sort of went off the ball again and got injured. But
16
I think,
goals that season, 10 goals the season afterwards. Top tackler in the team and everybody slates in the season afterwards. I think it's a bit rich, to be honest with you.
No. I'm just saying, like, people's probably bugbear with him is the fact that he's not fit all the time. And to be honest, that's probably a fault of the manager playing him too much. He's a player that is injury prone and who is going to get injured. So you really need to pick and choose when you play him. And you could even say today, he's obviously, Arsene Wenger's probably thought to himself, he's not quite fit enough to start this match. Maybe, he might not have thought that. But then he's had to bring him on because we were down and you could see him get injured again. And I think sometimes we do rely on Aaron Ramsey too much and then he gets injured and then we really miss him, and it shows that we miss him because he has got such a good engine. And like I said earlier, he pops up in really good positions throughout the game. And he obviously did it to score the goal. He did it just before he scored the goal and could have had one. It's just Aaron Ramsey to a T, and I love him. I really rate him as a player. I just wish he could stay fit more. And as for the other substitution, Giroud, like you said, anyone who thought we should have sold either of those two players is off their rocker. Like, I can understand why Giroud might want to leave, because the other person he's competing for a place for it in the national team is Lacazette. And if Lacazette is seen to be starting game in week in, week out ahead of him at Arsenal, it might convince the French manager to say so, to change his mind on him. But I don't think so. Because if Lacazette isn't scoring, we're playing a game like today, he has scored a goal, fair enough to him. But if you start to think, oh, fuck, what can we do here? The first person he's going to chuck on as a plan B, if Lacazette isn't working or if Lacazette isn't getting enough service or you need something else in there, Giroud will come on there. And we saw it last season. When he comes on, he scores goals. He is a really good plan B. And if we had sold him, you'd lose that. Fair enough, we just sort of waxed lyrical a bit about Welbeck and how he can be a big, important player. But for me, Giroud is a better finisher than him. And Giroud can come up and score important goals. And he does it time and time again. Yes, he can go 8 games in a row without scoring, but that's why you bring Lacazette in, because you know he's a good finisher. You know a lot of the time Lacazette's going to be scoring goals, but you've got the option, if he's not scoring goals, in Giroud to come out, who's a completely different player. And making substitutions can be a bit hit and miss for a manager. You can get him completely wrong, you can get him completely right, but obviously you've got to praise Wenger when he does make the substitution and they pay off, because they did really pay off. I sat there and I put in the WhatsApp chat like, fucking hell, we've took off our only centre-back. Like, what the fuck? But at the end of the day, we needed a goal. We got 2 goals and we won the game. And we looked good, and it made Leicester panic, I think. Like, if I am the Leicester defenders, or even the midfielders that are sitting deep, and we're like, right, we've kept them quiet so far, and then you see Giroud coming on, and you see Aaron Ramsey coming on, you think, for fuck's sake, they're going to be all over us. They're going to be popping up here and there. They've now got a player who they can cross the ball into, can hold it up and play it onto someone. They've got a midfielder who's really hard to track, because 1 minute he's in the midfield, the next minute he's popping up in the box. Like, they must have thought, fucking hell, here we go. So I just think that they're really good substitutions to make. It changed the game. It went from me possibly coming on here and moaning my ass off to praising the substitutions. And I'm just buzzing that happened, because it could have gone either way, and luckily it went the right way. So fair play to Wenger and fair play to the two guys that came on and changed the game.
Yeah, and to be fair, the interplay and some of the movement with Ramsey coming from deep, it seemed to free up Xhaka a little bit. It seemed to invigorate Ozil at times. And it led to the equaliser from Ramsey. Go nuts, go on, tell me about it.
Yeah, can I add also Theo Walcott came in before that as well. Player that I wouldn't have sold across the window. Ellis will know why I've added Theo Walcott to that, because I really do like the player. I think last season could have been a turning point for him. I know it's come potentially a little bit late for his Arsenal career, but it has come nonetheless. So the fact that that gave a bit more balance to what we were doing, having a proper winger out in that system, really helped what was going on there, creating space. I think Welbeck had put in a fantastic shift as well. But the Rambo goal, you've got Rambo peeling out to the right wing as well, the space that Walcott's left for Xhaka just to play the ball in. I think at the same time, we also saw Leicester take off a midfielder. They brought Ian Acho on. So I think that was probably
a little bit later. There's a little bit later, I think.
I've got that written just under the Rambo goal. I have to double check with that. Enough. So I think it's about the same time they've brought Ian Acho on. So that's given us a bit more space to operate in, because they had completely crowded our midfield as well by bringing that extra player on. I think it was Amati. So, yeah, that definitely helped us. And you could see probably Craig Shakespeare kicking his water off on the side going...
Sorry. Stephen Edwards, that's a massive chip in his shoulder, pal. go on, cut it.
I know.
I've
that
just
well,
seen that comment. Wow. Man United were in for him as well. Fergie wanted him, but that guy never amounted to anything.
He's only scored two winning goals in 2 FA Cups. So, you know, let's get rid of him. Sell him. Get him gone. Get him at the door.
Can you make some wine out of those sour grapes? Because I might buy some. But yeah, it was a perfect Ramsey goal, to be honest. I'm sure we saw it during his break. I don't want to call it a breakthrough season, but you know the season I'm talking about, the one where he scores all the goals, where he would peel off at the back post. He would come in, he'd take it on his chest, and he'd smash it in the opposite corner. We saw it against Norwich a couple of times. We saw it against Liverpool as well, where he scored those goals. It was an atypical Rambo goal. Absolutely loved it. And it just gave us that momentum we needed. We had three fresh players in the attacking third that were just absolutely bombarding that Leicester back line, and they didn't know what to do. They haven't been hit like that for a while. I think the last time they were beat like that was probably during their title winning season when we did the double on them. And yeah, we go into the Olivier Giroud goal, I think, from there.
But yeah. Let's go straight to Ellis for the Giroud goal. Go on.
Sorry, I was just burping there to try and cover it up.
Nice, that's that.
Could have been awkward. Anyway, yeah, Giroud again. I can't wax more lyrical about him. I just love the guy. I'm going to bring him up now. We've got quite far without bringing him up. Jamie fucking Carragher. What a complete and utter twat. For the whole, he acts as if he's this sort of best Premier League defender to ever play, and he's constant criticising. He just comes across, I know I'm biased in saying it, but he just comes across so against Arsenal. But the one thing he said all game, which the only thing I agreed with, was when he said Giroud is such an underrated player in the Premier League, one of the most underrated players in the Premier League, and he is. I don't think other fans rate him at all, but if you're an Arsenal fan, you must surely see what Giroud brings to the team. He has his moments, yes, when he doesn't play, and he's probably the striker that we didn't really need. We needed a better striker than him, and we got Giroud, and I think that's why he gets a bit of criticism, because we needed a slightly better striker than Giroud. But like I said, he's a really good plan B, and what he does offer, he is really good at it. And it's just typical Giroud. That goal is Giroud all over. He can pop up in those positions inside the box, and you know he's gonna score. And yeah, I was just absolutely buzzing when that went in.
he took it well, didn't he? He took it well. There was lots of pushing and shoving there, and he stayed strong. And once again, akin to last season, he buries the chance, and a little bit hair him, scare him after that. But we closed the game out. So it's one of those where, you know, you look at it and you think, phew. You know, I think we worked hard and we earned the win. We really did. Statistically, we were by far the better team. But, you know, as somebody in the chat box has already said, you know, you get Leicester with three shots on target, three goals. You know, we peppered the box at times without really being clinical. But it's 3 points, first game of the season. You can't argue with that. You know, I think even though the encouraging part for me was, okay, we defended really badly. You know, we've got to acknowledge that. We still came out of it on top. We won the game, and it's onwards now. And we look at the chat box tonight, and yeah, we did have a lot of poor performances. But we had a lot of players who stood up and were counted, which is really good to see. And when we get players back fit, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be far more encouraging. But we really need to start building. Stefan Selby, that's harsh, dude. That's really harsh.
I can't help it, I am sure.
If any of you in the chat box have any questions, pop them in now. We'll take a look at those and go from there. Overall feelings after the game, lads. Josh, go.
My first feeling was get me a beer, because my God, that was a mile a minute. But I think I didn't want to have to come on here and go, don't worry, guys, there's 37 other games that we can win. You know, no one's ever won the league without losing a game with a little winky face. But I think, yeah, it was good to see that irrespective of how poorly our defence was, we still got through with the 3 points. I I think it's, there's lots of positives we can take from this, and I'd rather take those from a fan point of view. Like, Arsene Wenger and the rest of his backroom staff can take all the negatives out of this. That's their job, is to deal with negatives. Our job, deal with all the positives. So Lacazette got his goal. Ramsey's come in. He's got a goal from the fact that he was injured. We saw some good performances from Xhaka. We saw a good performance from a half-injured Ozil. You know, Welbeck put a great shift in. Our bench looks strong. And we'll let everyone else, we'll let the backroom staff deal with the fact that defence needs work. And Petacek has seemed to have gone full Morris Dancer. But
I think it's harsh to just talk about checking that way. Knight in the chat box has just said, yeah, talk about the back three. You know, there was no solidity in front of Czech today. There was a lot of pressure on him. And yet, Mizrachi, whatever his name is, the Leicester boy up top. He was
Okazaki.
Okazaki, thank you.
Yeah,
he was causing all sorts of argument. Yeah. Let's look at this then. Why was Kolasinac, why didn't one of the midfielders come in there? And Kolasinac was a big lad, look for the runners coming onto the ball. Why wasn't he
So what I'd hope would be your experienced player in that defensive unit, which I'm including the goalkeeper in, would be telling an inexperienced player in the league, Kolasinac has obviously played football before, that he should be handing him off, that he should be keeping this shape here. That's what we saw what was good about Czech last season, was when we moved to this three, he started communicating with that back three, which he wasn't doing when it was a back four. And that's where we saw those goals going in, and he started having those problems at his near post. We needed to really see that extra communication from him that was lost on in this game, really. It's an issue you have with Ospina doesn't really communicate ever, which is probably better than communicating 50% of the time, because at least then the defence know they're not going to get a call from their goalkeeper rather than getting one every so often. Because we did start to see that eventually, and I would have hoped, because that's what we saw from the FA Cup final, that Mertesacker said he was talking Holding through the game. Holding needed someone next to him, and I think Monreal was too preoccupied with trying to sort his own game out because he's in an unfamiliar position.
Yeah.
And we're just looking for someone a bit like that to just help these guys out. You know, Kolasinac is still only, what, 23? That's fairly young for a defender.
He's got cups. He's got a lot of performances at Schalke. He's no mug.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's no mug.
He's in an unfamiliar league, though. That's one thing that I will give him as a benefit of the doubt. If this was, you know, two seasons in, then I'd be slating all of them because they should know better. But I think with Rob Holding being inexperienced and probably not getting talked through the game the same way he was by Mertesacker or Mustafi or Koscielny, who's normally to his left, then it's more of an issue, because I don't think you see Monreal as a bit of a shouter or a communicator in the same way. We've seen Kolasinac can do great things from the left wing back position. And we can see why now. It's because he's poor when the ball's in behind him.
Say that to his face, Josh, I dare you.
Oh, don't. I'll do it from here. It's safer.
Okay. Right, no nickname required has come up with one. Ellis, what do you guys think about the option of playing Lacazette and Giroud together?
I can't really see a scenario where I'd start with them both playing. Maybe later. I can't really envisage that at the moment. But I think it's like today, when you need a goal, I think it's a good opportunity to play both of them together, because, like I said, me and Rudy had a sort of a bit of not an argument, but just discussion about Giroud's sort of qualities and Lacazette's qualities, and they both have good qualities that are different to each other, and they both have sort of stuff they aren't quite good at, so they can help each other out a lot. I think we discussed how good Giroud can be, sort of holding it with his hold up playing in the air, and we've discussed how good Lacazette's movement and finishing is, and I think there is times in a game when it will be good to see them together and when it will help us win. But I'm just trying to think of a situation where I think we maybe against a team where we know are probably going to sit back and aren't going to be too adventurous, then I might think about starting both of them. But most times in the league, I think you're going to miss a midfielder or another option or whoever you take out there to then play a 4-4-2 or whatever formation you're going to play to incorporate both of them. You're going to lose another type of player. And I can only really see that in against a team that will sit back against us. Like people are putting the chat box Stoke, I can see now. But they're a changed team now, I think. They're trying to be a bit more attacking. They're not the sort of brutes rugby players that they used to be. So I don't know, maybe another team, like maybe a West Brom, Tony Pulis teams are quite renowned for doing it. So maybe we would, but who knows?
I'll take this next one then. It's from JH. Who do we bring in keeper-wise because Czech and goal doesn't win the league anymore? Well, we've just let Wodge go for peanuts to Juve. I don't see he's going to bring in anybody. I think he can forget about it. I think he's going to stick with Ospina and let Ospina go on a free next season. I think Messi probably gets promoted to the third keeper. And unless he picks up a Butland or something like that, it's just going to be this way for the next couple of years. And hopefully Martinez will come through, do well on loan this season and earn the number one spot. I'm gobsmacked by our keeping situation. So that's that. Go on. K-Man Arsenal forever. Can you guys, who got man of the match for you? Josh?
It seems a little bit easy to go for this, but I would go Lacazette. I think scoring the goal, the movement all round, I think he just had a very good, consistent game throughout there. I don't think anyone else had such a consistent game. It was between him and Xhaka for me, really. But as we've said already, that Xhaka had quite a hot and cold game. And I think Lacazette overall, with his movement, his part in the build-up play, I think he had a very, very solid game. It was one of those that's really hard to call for a man of the match because it's so box-to-box. It's never really going to be a defender, and your midfielder is going to have to do something outstanding to even get accredited. It's most likely going to be a forward player. So, yeah, I think it will be Lacazette for me.
Okay, Ellis.
For me, I'd probably go, it's like Josh said, it's very hard to pick because it's so sort of end-to-end game. There's a lot of problems there that happened. A lot of people or players that could have been at fault for certain goals and a lot of players that were involved in the four goals that we did score. So it is very difficult. But for me, I'd probably go for the Ox purely because out of, whether you want to call it back three or back five, out of those sort of more defensively minded players, I thought he was the only one to sort of come out of that with a good game, really. The others were, obviously, like we said, Koscielny has done really well getting forward, and he probably will look a lot better as a left wing-back role than at a centre-back role where he has to be more reserved. But for me, I thought Ox played really well. I've been quite critical of him in the past on the left wing-back role, but he played quite well, and you could see that he was getting past players and he was trying stuff and he was doing well. Yes, he had a couple of shots in frustration, but for me, other than the sort of Lacazette or the guys that came on and changed the game, because he was the one that started the game and finished the game, I'd probably go for Ox for me.
Yeah, but same here. People have mentioned Xhaka in the box. I thought Xhaka was hot and cold tonight, worse than anybody. I thought at least Ox was consistent. Defensively, got back. He worked hard. I no problem giving it to Lacazette either, in all fairness. I thought, you know, he for his first game in the league, really good. The Aussie Fanny has asked us to comment on the atmosphere. Now, from a personal point of view, you could feel the tension in the crowd at times. It was, you could see the faces on people. People were annoyed when we were 3-2 down. They were concerned. You could feel the tension come through the TV. It was a real roller coaster. And at the end, it just exploded into positivity. As soon as we started getting on top after the substitutions, it really picked up. And when Ramsey scored the equaliser, it exploded. And as soon as Giroud scored the winner, it was bonkers. It was really bonkers. It was great to see. I mean, to be fair, they got their money's worth tonight. It was an absolute roller coaster. Do you guys want to say anything on that?
I will say, from after they equalised, you could see sort of people trying to G the crowd up, and they did start to sing, "Come on, Arsenal, come on, Arsenal, and get behind it, get behind the team," and just sort of say, "Right, okay, like we get that we've just conceded and we're now equalised when we were literally ahead in 2 minutes." But they did try to get behind the team. But sometimes you think the way football games can go, especially for Arsenal, it can get a bit too much, and the crowd do sometimes get quiet. But like you said, at the end of the game, after the goals that eventually turned out to be the equaliser and the winner, the stadium erupted, and right at the end it was really loud as well. But I think they did try to get behind the team when we were drawing 1-1, but yeah, it did start to fade out a bit through the middle of the game, really.
Yeah. Josh, anything to add to that?
No, to be honest. I think the way that Sky feed the atmosphere back to us is kind of cherry-picked as well. There was certainly a situation when we were losing where they had to fade down the fact that the Leicester fans were calling us shit. And to be fair, at the time we were. But it wasn't past the watershed. So you're going to get that kind of stuff where they're going to filter things out. So I can never always be 100% sure whether or not the Emirates is truly a library or Sky have made it that way. But as you say, when we scored, the noise was there. I don't doubt the passion was there for 90 minutes. It's just a case of whether or not we hear that through our TV, through the choice words in the songs that we're using at the time.
Stefan makes a good point in the chat box. Like, it must have been like for us just watching it on TV, it's emotionally exhausting. Like, oh, yeah, it must be the same for the crowd to try and get back behind the team after conceded again, and to go from thinking, "Fuck it out, it's 2 minutes in and off signing, striker's just scored," to then within like a couple of minutes later, like, "Oh fuck." And then try to get back into it and then go behind. It's like, yeah, it must be hard work.
I say, when we're certainly in a stadium,
it's bonkers.
Yeah, certainly. I've been in various different stadiums in different home areas. The Emirates definitely has a unique sound to it. It's certainly very similar to when you watch it at home, with the way that the crowd reacts compared to someone like Crystal Palace, which is just flat out, doesn't matter what's going on, they're just going to be 100% mad. Not necessarily positive, they're just going to be mad for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Arsenal, we're a bit more conservative, aren't we? We're
But the ground is packed in Palace as well. You're on top of each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
It depends where you sit as well, and who you sit with. Like, I think people make it and comments in the podcast all the time. A lot of the younger sort of fans are not necessarily priced out, but you're talking about sort of people who are university, college students, and all that.
Let's not go down that route now. Not going deep in depth. Okay, we got two more questions. I'm going to wrap it up. The first one's from Chandra Skaran Ramamurthy. All right, pal. When will we start to think of defending as an important part of the game? Because when the league teams don't concede an average of less than 30 goals, LSU first.
When someone isn't manager of the football club anymore. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Josh.
Sorry, which question is this?
When are we going to start?
We believe that defending is an important part of our game.
Yeah.
Probably when we have an Italian manager in charge. It's become that way now. I hate to throw a flippant answer out, but we have seen that generally, in the past couple of seasons, and I can think off the top of my head, in the past decade, Alex Ferguson aside, the managers that have been successful have all been Italian. And there's obviously a reason for that. And that's the coaching system they're coming through, and the fact that defence is the first part of attack. I can't really say any more than that. We should really start building from there. I think only Leicester really won a title with a swashbuckling style. Perhaps we can do it as well, but I wouldn't necessarily hold your breath on that. Jess, you're on mute.
Sorry, Leicester only hardly got their own half. You know, they played counter-attacking football. They weren't swashbuckling. It was defend, 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 catch them on the counter. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but I haven't seen anybody that a really decent defence win this title.
Or without it, anyway, yeah. It is a decent defence that makes a title winning side.
Exactly. I agree with the boys. You're going to have to change the manager to change that. Okay, the last question of the night from Stephen Edwards. I'm getting a bit of stick. Do you see a place for Jack in this side, or will he be gone come September the 1st? Ellis.
Sorry, I was typing and I missed what you said.
The answer is Gunnosaurus.
Okay, go, sorry.
Well done, Ellis. Well done. Josh?
I don't see a position for Jack Wilshere in this squad. Love him as much as I do. You know, sentiment isn't a thing in football anymore. You know, everybody wants Jenko out, and he had Arsenal fucking wallpaper in his bedroom. It's not just enough to be an Arsenal fan to be at Arsenal Football Club anymore. It's a very sad thing to have, but we can get someone more consistently available to cover that position on less money. And that's now the cutthroat nature of football. Really?
Yeah, let's be honest, okay? For the money he's demanding for signing a new contract, for his availability, he didn't tear up any last season. You know, he either takes the same money or he can go.
Can I add one thing about his Bournemouth loan spell?
Go on.
So whilst Jack Wilshere was having those seasons for Arsenal, we never for one second said he was about assists. I remember Danny pulling up second assists to make the point that that was Jack Wilshere's game, was the ball before the ball.
I'm not making the point, but that's not my point, for
the Bournemouth point, that we need to look at the build-up play that Jack attributed to Bournemouth. And for that, Josh King comes in, he got dropped because Josh King fits into that position behind the striker. He didn't necessarily get dropped. Josh King was in such a great run of form that he was undroppable, and he couldn't push the way back in because of the way Eddie Howe plays football. He still plays football with two defensive players.
You can make as many excuses for it as you want. Jack Wilshere has played a DM role, okay, a deep-lying playmaker role for England. If he was that effective at Bournemouth, he'd have had a place. And that's the bottom line in this. We keep on making excuses for players. Whether Jack Wilshere was seen as a 10, a central midfielder, or as a deep-lying playmaker, it doesn't matter. If he's good enough, he will get in that team. And there's a reason for that.
But put any player put Xhaka into that. A player that's slightly more defensively stronger than Jack Wilshere. He still wouldn't get into that Bournemouth squad because of the way they play. They want a player that's properly defensive in those two holding positions. And Jack couldn't fit into that position. It's a problem with Eddie Howe.
Jack's done at international level.
But he was playing a different position. He was playing more of a Pirlo quarterback role, which doesn't exist in the Bournemouth system. But that's probably a discussion for like a hipsters podcast as opposed to this.
Yeah. In any case, that's it for tonight. Guys, thank you very much for watching us tonight. That's much appreciated. If you can give us a thumbs up, we'd really like that. Thank you for your time. Thank you for participating. The chat box has been bonkers tonight. I haven't been able to keep up with it. There's been the opinions are so far ranging. It's nuts. Mr. Lebowski, I couldn't give a monkeys if Jack is Welsh or English. I don't really care. He's not done it. That's the problem. You're talking about a guy who's only got 120 odd league games for Arsenal, who's been there 9 years. It's not enough. You've got to do it. Josh, thank you for joining us tonight. You were superb. Well done.
Thank you, Jason, for having me, and thank you to ABW in general for having me back for the season.
Yeah, pleasure to have you, pal. Ellis, second one of the season. Oh, we're best bros now.
I know. What the fuck? People must be getting sick and tired of my voice. I might have to give it a break for a bit and let everyone off. But no, it's a pleasure to be back. And yeah, echo what Josh said. It's great to come back for another season. So thanks to everyone at the ABW.
Good job. Good job. The chat box again, you're superb. You just keep on delivering. You're all bonkers. You're all absolutely bonkers. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. 3 points. What can you say? It's 3 points to kick the season off with. It doesn't get any better than that. Cheers, guys. All the best. God save the Arsenal.